A very good morning to you. It's Ascension Day when the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, ascended into heaven according to the scriptures. Very good morning to you. My name is Mike Oshoveli and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. So this is the show where we dive deep into the stories, events and issues that shape our world. This is the show. This show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how it impacts our lives. So whether it is the latest development in politics, business, culture, or social issues, we're here to make sense of it all together. So, but it's not just about us talking. It is also about you. Share your thoughts, opinion, and perspectives on the topics that matter most to you. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So if you're just joining us, welcome and good morning to you on this special day, the Ascension Days, when the Lord ascended into heaven. So it's the 29th of May, the year is 2025. And on this day, on the 29th, so what happened on this day in Africa? So any significant day on this day in Africa? Yep, on the 29th of May, around these days, around May the 20th, because the organization of African Unity is formed. So while the AU was officially established on the 25th of May in 1963, so around these days, 27, 26, 27, 28, 29, so this event is a reminder of the continued activities that followed its formation. So throughout late May, you know, African nations engaged in dialogue on how to foster unity and cooperation among African states, paving now the way for what is now the African Union, the AU. So on the very same day, following the election of Nelson Mandela as South Africa's first black president in April 1994, the newly elected Democratic Parliament convened in Cape Town. So this event symbolized the end of apartheid and the beginning of a new era in South Africa's governance. And Burundi, on this day in 2007, Burundi officially became a member of the East African Community, the EAC, an important milestone for regional integration in East Africa. So, and today, while this is an international observance, it highlights a relevance to Africa, given the significant presence of UN peacekeeping missions across the continent. It's United Nations Peacekeeping Day, Peacekeepers Day. So the day, recognized annually on 29 May, honors the service and sacrifice of the UN peacekeepers, including those serving in Africa, and Africa conflict zones like the Democratic Republic of Congo, South Sudan and Mali, all those places. So, all right. So that's what happened. In Africa. So our thought of the day today, is a rich man plans for tomorrow, a poor man for today. So a rich man plans for tomorrow, a poor man for today. So the proverb highlights the difference in perspectives and priority between those with wealth and those without. So it underscores how financial resources influences priorities and decision. So it can also serve as a reminder of the importance of long-term planning, even for those with limited means, as a way to improve your circumstances. So, yeah, today's our thought of the day is: a rich man plans for tomorrow, and a poor man for today. Akuchaki shonoko kanya. Anom omzona aningi kishonoko kanya. All right. All right. So that's our thought for the day. Hopefully that help you to think otherwise as we go through the day today. All right. So when we come back, we get into our first item on the show, where we will be also, all right, I will tell you when we come back.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsi Nehangano, the Osherero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Sing Voor Diere, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-238-0683. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Wageningen University September Intake 2025. All programs are fully accredited by the NQA, Certificate in Health Science Foundation Level 4, a one-year program, full-time, all campuses, Certificate for Enrolled Nurse Midwifery, Level 6, a two-year program, full-time in Windhoek, Kurenkuru, Kompat, Wavish Bay, Katima Muliro, and Otapi. A diploma in environmental health services, level 6, a two-year program, a full-time in Windhoek, a Bachelor of Nursing and Midwifery Science Honours, a four-year program, full-time in Windhoek, Kurenkuru, Kompat, Wavish Bay and Katima Muliro, a postgraduate diploma in mental health nursing, level 8, a one-year program, full-time in Windhoek, a postgraduate diploma in community health nursing, level 8, a one-year program, full-time in Windhoek. The application period started on the 1st of May. It will end tomorrow, the 30th. It will end on the 30th of June, 2025. So for more information, call 061-225463. 061-225463 or 061-225462. The Virtual University, where everyone is an achiever. So welcome to Eagle FM. And you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. Our time is about 44 minutes past the hour of 7. So we will go until 9:30 this morning. So welcome. Yeah, today welcome back. This morning we are heading to the eastern corner of Namibia, to a small but significant town called Divundu in the Kavango Eastern Region, where development dreams are colliding head-on with community rights in a dispute that is raising fundamental questions about fairness, about consultation, about who really benefit when progress comes calling. Now, this is a leading story in yesterday's edition of The Villager by Anakleta Haikera, titled, "We Are Not Against Development. We Just Want Fair Compensation, Divundu Residents." So that's the story that we will be unpacking today. And we will also try to get to my colleague, Anakleta, who actually wrote the story, just to get more deeper information on the story. So let me paint a picture for you. All right, for Divundu, the development boom in Divundu. So now this town sits just kilometers from the Babwata National Park, and serving as what locally. As what local official proudly call a gateway to Africa and SADC, Southern African Development Community. So it's a place that has been experiencing what many would call development renaissance. And we are talking about new roads, shopping mall, and most recently, and the story I think that we covered, I think the village have covered also a massive 50 million housing project that promised about 110 modern homes. So this is a small town getting the infrastructures it needs, modern housing for its resident and economic opportunities. And also blueberries, a farm is also not far away from them. So, but here's where our story takes a turn. Because Monday, the street of Divundu were not filled with celebration. They were filled with the demonstrators demanding something that should be fundamental in any development story, fair compensation for their land. And yesterday we were talking about, you know, how many 14% of land conference resolutions, only about 14% were actually implemented out of 176, I think, promises, only about 25 or so. Something that we covered yesterday. So issues that related to something like that. So now let's be clear here about what these residents are saying, according to the article. So because this is not your typical anti-development protest, you know, there's one of the protests, Tapalo Marcus, one of the demonstrators, put it perfectly. So, and quote unquote, "We understand the importance of development and we welcome it because it brings opportunities and infrastructure. So, but it should not come at the cost of our livelihood, homes, and dignity." So, and this is actually the crux of the issue, my dear listeners. So these are not people standing in the way of progress. So these are people asking for their basic rights to be respected as progress moves forward. So they want that their rights are respected. And what rights are we talking about? So the right for fair compensations when their land is taken, the right to proper consultation before the decisions are made about their property, and the right to transparency in the entire process. So that's all what they are asking. That's the right they are asking. And according to the community spokesperson, Freddie Marando, some residents have been waiting for compensation since 2016. That's nearly 9 years ago. 2016. That's nearly 9 years ago. So imagine that for a moment. You know, someone comes, takes your land for a development project, promises you will be compensated, and then you wait almost a decade. We wait almost for a decade. I have to put it that way. It more sounds. So with nothing, actually, with nothing but empty promises. So, and now here is where the story actually get interesting. And frankly, also concerning. We have two very different versions. You know, one of what is happening with compensation in Divundu. So the residents claim they have received inadequate compensation that doesn't reflect the true value of their land and property. So from some of the other informations, you know, this is not in the article, but some say they have lost land valued between 10,000 and 40,000, while others describe losing area the size of 6 sport fields, you know? So, but then we have also Mukwe constituency councillor, Damian Magabai, telling a different story entirely. He claims that compensation has already been paid out by the Divundu Village Council, with records showing that over 100 residents have been compensated between 2017 and 2025. So he even suggested that the team leader on the demonstration is among those who have received payment. So these are the two stories, and contact later, maybe in a few minutes later, my colleague to clarify some of these issues, because we have two conflicting issues. We don't know which is which. So this is where now we need to ask also some hard questions. You know, if compensation has been paid, if it has been paid as the councillor claims, why are people still protesting if they have been paid? And why are they demanding a fair compensation if they have received already, if they already received a fair compensation? So this discrepancies points to a deeper issue. Either the compensation being offered is so inadequate that residents don't consider it fair, that could be the point, or there is a fundamental breakdown in communication about what constitutes proper compensation. That could be also the case. So we will look at that and probably ask for more information on those. So the other thing is also the hidden cost of development, you know, because look, compensation issue is just one piece of the puzzle. Marando also raised a serious environmental concern that should alarm listening to me now. He talks about a man-made oxidation pond situated near a residential area that emits foul odors, you know, that smell, a dimba, and possess and that then that poses actually health risk. So, but here's the real concerning part. This pond is allegedly merging into the main river where the community fetches water for domestic use, including drinking. Think about it for a moment. You know, we are celebrating development, building new infrastructure, but potentially contaminating the very water source that the community actually depends on for survival. So this is development without consideration for environmental impact. And it perfectly illustrates why proper consultation and environment assessment are so crucial. And when I look at the official document, there was indeed an environmental impact assessment. I looked at that document. The environmental assessment was conducted for the town, for township establishment in Duvundu, which identified potential issues. This is in the document, which identified potential issues, including now ground and surface water pollution, habitat destruction, and various other environmental concerns. Now, the assessment recommended mitigation measures. It did recommend mitigation measures, but the residents' complaint suggests that these measures may not be working as intended. So it might have been omitted. Eh? So, and that really is a really a concerning issue. So, and one of the most troubling aspect also of this story is what it reveals about local governance. The residents are calling for the removal of a Duvundu Village Council Chief Executive Mangubo Njamba, not just about the compensation issue, but because they claim he has not accessible to the public, he hasn't been accessible to the public. So imagine that, you know, the person whose job it is to serve the community has apparently made it difficult for that very community to reach him with their concerns. So, and this speaks to a broader problem we see across many development projects. So the disconnect between those making decision and those affected by those decisions. So when community leaders become gatekeepers rather than advocates, when they become barriers to communication rather than the bridge, you know, and we have a governance crisis that undermines the very foundation of the democratic participation. So, yeah, this Duvundu situation is unfolding against the backdrop of a broader debate about land reform and compensation in Namibia. So, and definitely, even the day that we observed yesterday, the remembrance that it's about the land, is also about the land. So, and I think tying to that, I think I am thinking of legal experts like Norman Chombe, have been calling for urgent reform of Namibia's land reform framework, criticizing, of course, many of us do that, the current willing buyer, willing seller approach as ineffective and unjust. So Chombe argued that I'm tying this to this issue that Namibia constitution provides for expropriation in the public interest with just compensation, but emphasize the need to debate what constitutes just compensation. So this is exactly what the Divundu residents are demanding. A fair assessment of what their land is worth and compensation that reflect that value. So the broader context shows that between 1990 to about 2015, the government was able to resettle. I know this is a little bit away from the Divundu issue. So from between there, the government was able to settle 1,485 families on about 385 farms through its national resettlement program. But the Divundu cases suggest that the mechanism of ensuring fair compensation in this land acquisition process may be failing community at the local level. So now let me quickly just hold on. Let me quickly get my colleague Anakleta just to give us some clarification on some of the issue on these stories that we are unpacking today. So stay tuned. We will be back if we get Anakleta to give us update on the story, on some of these issues on the story that we have covered here on this on unpacking this morning. So stay tuned.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongoti samwene. Anage shifa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro nirandi toma yoe, yonge shifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nena. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira seoma, konara hita tuimu. Datundatu, heari hamano tano, oniaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsie Nehangano, the Osherero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Sing Voor Diere, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-23-58-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Well, welcome back. it's becoming my routine, actually. It's kind of becoming my routine. Every time I actually have to call my guest, it's looked like I don't get them, you know. And yesterday I was actually calling. I booked an interview with Honorable McHenry Venani, and I couldn't get to him. And he promised that I should call him today around 8:30. We would have the discussion that we couldn't have yesterday. So about within about 25 minutes, so we will be able to contact him again and see if I can get through to him and be able to discuss what we were supposed to talk about yesterday. So, and I can't get my colleague as well. but we will get back to her. I just wanted to have a clarification on this conflict, information. We just wanted to find out, whether she may have actually made a verification in terms of have they been paid? So have the payment have been done? Some said they haven't paid. Some said the official said they have been paid. And the issue of the oxidation, the pond that caused some health hazard or health risk, just to find out if she have observed that and more information in terms of that. So yeah, her phone is just going on ringing and ringing, and then as I said earlier on, this Divundu situation is unfolding against the backdrop of broader debate in terms of land reform. So there's also this this paradox, the economic paradox, if you like. It's here's what is particularly frustrating about this situation, listeners. Divundu is experiencing significant economic development. The new housing project alone represent a 50 million investment that promises employment during constructions. And I think this is a story also we covered in March, and modern housing option for residents as well. So major banks, including FNB, Bank Windhoek, Nedbank, Bank BIC, and Letsego are on board to finance home loans for the project. But what good is development if it displaces the very people it's supposed to benefit? So if residents can't afford the new houses because they were unfairly compensated for the land, those houses are, if they unfairly compensated for those houses where the land, where the houses are built on, then who is this development really serving? So this is the economic paradox at the heart of the Divundu story. Growth doesn't grow with the community, development that develops around people rather than for people. So that's how I see it. So the other thing is also the relocation reality from serviced to unserviced land. One of the most damaging aspect of this situation is how residents are being relocated. According to Marando, some people were moved to unserviced area, and those unserviced areas lack basic utilities such as water, electricity, sewage system, and roads. So this is not development. I mean, how can you come from from the area that provide these services and you go to area that don't have these services. So this displacement with a displacement with a development label on it, you know?
Yeah.
So, and think about the human cost here. Families who once have access to basic services are now living without them because of development project that was supposed to improve their lives. So this is exactly the opposite of what development should achieve. It is precisely why proper consultations and fair compensation are so crucial. So, yeah, what emerges from this story is a severe trust deficit, you know, between the community and those responsible for development in the area. So when Basilius Nakare says, one of those protesters as well, development should uplift communities and not displace or marginalize them. So, unquote, he actually articulating a fundamental principle that seems to have been forgotten actually in Divundu. So this trust deficit didn't happen overnight. It is the result of years of inadequate consultation between the community and the officials, and unfair compensations, and broken promises. So when residents have been waiting since 2016 for compensation, when they are relocated to areas without basic services, so when their water sources is potentially contaminated, and when their local officials become inaccessible, trust definitely, will hit the rock bottom. So where do we go from here? According to this story, so the resident of Divundu, actually they have given us a roadmap in their own words. So they are not asking to stop development. That's what they said. They are asking for a fairness. So they want proper consultation before the decision are made about their land. So they want compensation that reflect the true value of what they are losing. So they want transparency in the process. So, and they want their voices to be heard and respected. And this is same thing, all around the country. This is what the people want. So these are not unreasonable demands. In fact, they should be the minimum standard for any development project in a democratic society. So the question is whether the authority will listen and act, or whether this protest will join the long list of community voices that are ignored in the name of course progress or development. So I want you to remember the words of Tapalo Marcus, which he said, quote unquote, development shouldn't come at the cost of our livelihoods, home and dignity. It shouldn't. So this is the standard by which, you know, this should be the standard by which we should judge every development project, not just by the infrastructure it creates, but the economic activity, or it shouldn't just by the infrastructure it creates or the economic activity it generate, but by whether it actually respect and uplift the community it affects. So the situation in Divundu is, I think it's a small scale of a development challenge we see across Namibia and indeed across Africa. So we see this in other town councils area, that when they develop area that has been filled, that has been actually a village or so. Yeah, it is a reminder that true development isn't just about building roads or houses. It's about building trust, one of that, and ensuring fairness. So, and making sure that progress benefits everyone, not just those with the power to make decisions. So the residents of Divundu have spoken clearly. They want development, but they want fair development. They want progress, but not at the expenses of their rights and dignity. So whether their voice will be heard and acted upon remain to be seen, but their message is clear and their demand, I think they're just. So remember, when development comes to your community, ask not just what it will build, but who it will serve and how it will serve them. So, yeah. Let me, now I'm conflict. Am I still on air? All right.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anage shifa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seisa nina omayaguro nirandi toma yoe, yonge shifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tu imemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwa shifareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengera selma, konoraje tatu imu. Datu, heari jamano tano, o niaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
Need lightning fast internet? Paratus has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Paratus' cutting-edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through our high-quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Paratus today. Visit us online at paratus.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff. Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Inba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Inba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread.
Well, welcome back. And at last, I managed actually to get my colleague, Anaclet. Anaclet, good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, Mike, and to all the Eagle FM listeners.
Yeah, we're following your story that appeared in the Villager in the edition of yesterday. Mm-hmm. So about the Divundu residents that actually demonstrated on Monday. Mm-hmm. So there are some critical issues that I would like you to probably just, you know, give us more information on that. So mm-hmm. the councillor, Magabai, I think if I pronounce it right, claims, claims compensation records show payment to over 100 residents, including the protesters, the protest leaders, you know. Were you independently able to verify this payment record and did you somehow cross-reference them with demonstrators just to make sure that these claims are true?
All right. Now, on Tuesday, Divundu resident, the mainly resident that are not only in Divundu but surrounding the village town itself, staged a peaceful demonstration where they allegedly said they were not compensated and they were not happy.
Yeah.
Now, moving to what you have asked me is that we verify the payment and indeed the leader of the demonstration was paid twice, but still...
Mm.
He wasn't there for himself. He was there for other residents to just stand behind them that they also need to be compensated. Even though he was compensated, he also needed the other residents to be compensated. So it was a very difficult demonstration because now mainly he was paid, but then the others who were surrounding the area itself, including ShopRite that was just recently inaugurated on Friday.
Yeah.
There was a resident who was staying there, but now moved to another village just nearby Divundu itself. He said he has not yet been compensated since 2016.
Mm.
And when the Mukwe constituency councillor was talking, he said most of those that were not yet compensated are going to be compensated before the end of this year. So, but then resident questioned to say, why were some compensated and some were not compensated? Is it because of the way they look or because of the way they could not fight for their rights? That's the reason why they were not compensated. So it also comes up to one to think, can this be real? Because we spoke to a 63-year-old Johannes Hausiku, who said he has been moved to an area where there's not even light or perhaps water, but his place is now where other a mall is, where the Chara mall is in situated. But up to now, he has not been compensated. And he called out to say, no, is it because he does not speak or perhaps he does not know English? Is this the reason why he has not yet been compensated? But in the meantime, he indicated that he had a receipt that he was given to say he's going to be paid. But up to date, he was not paid.
Is it a thing of when a people, you know, because sometimes when you approach, you think, okay, this is actually enough money, or this is actually a good money for me to be able to do something. But in the end, you realize that actually the value of your land is more than what you probably receive. And then you kind of feel you are done by not given actually the value, what your land worth. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. This is one of the reason why the chairperson is still standing with the others, because he feels the money that was given to him is not worth the land. You understand? When there is a filling station at your house, perhaps let me take an example of now the chairperson, where he was situated is where now the total filling station is situated.
Yeah.
So now he feels the money that he was given is just peanuts. It's not enough for him to be sustained, because these individuals are getting more than what he was just given. And then there is also a certain resident who is a lady who said she was only given $26, but $26,000. And she narrated her story to say her neighbor was given more than what she was given. So why would the fees be different? Mm. Is it because perhaps maybe she cannot speak for herself, or what is really going on? You understand? Because for her, she said, if we measure the house where she was situated plus the neighbor's house, it's merely the same. So why this one getting less and this one getting more?
Yeah. So is it really, I don't know whether you have done that, assessment, their compensation that they are given, because if you are removed out of your house and now you have to move somewhere, the compensation that they are given, is it enough really to start your life again?
No, honestly speaking, no. Like I said, Mike, when I was telling you the certain lady that says she was only given a 26,000, what will one do with it? Because already they are saying they are not against development. They want development to take place. Mm. But when you move me from my place, you only give me, let's say, a 30,000, so to say.
Yeah.
Am I going to be able to attract electricity to come to my house where I am?
Yeah.
Let's talk about water. And people are scared to go to the river because there are predators there. So what? How would you want to give someone something that they know it's not enough? You understand? These people are not happy at all. This is due to the money that they were given. Because even if you take that 30,000, what are you going to do with it? Can you even build a house out of it?
Exactly, yeah.
Mm.
So the other thing, now regarding the oxidation pond contamination claims, how truthful is this claim? Is that claims? And in terms of now the water, have the authority tested the river's water quality just to see, to know whether that actually, you know, the case?
Indeed, when it comes to the ponds that they were talking about, even where we were, it was not really good looking at the healthy hazard. Because you know now that the town is steady developed, they need to build a lot of sewerage that can contain the waste of the people and also the waste of that places that are now operating as business places. But it seems the town has more to do, because seriously, the advocate of health, it's not really at standard at all. Because even where we were, we had water running through places that some people were situated. So you can already see the town needs to do more for one to say it's really a place where one can live. Because also when we talk about Divundu, remember Divundu, that's where Popa Fall is. So if this water runs down to the river, the people that are going to use this river are going to be contaminated, isn't it? Because now the rivers are not clean, because when these sewage drainage are flowing, it's going straight to the river. And the same river is the river that people are using.
Any information for families maybe living near the oxidation pond? Has there been any public health report showing disease potentially linked to water contaminations?
So far, not any that was reported.
Yeah.
But then the resident themselves has complained to say, no, they cannot fetch water from the river because they are scared. Number one, it's the predators that are there. And number two is they are not certainly sure if the water is clean enough to drink.
Yeah. So,
Like I said, so far we haven't had a report, that concrete report that says somebody has used the water and this is how they ended up.
Mm. So, and the resident accused the village councillor, CEO, of being inaccessible. What normally official channel exists for citizens to channel their grievances when local leaders are unresponsive, for example?
Normally people used to make appointments. This is now the Namibia we are talking about. You need to make appointment before you see me. But then these people are like, they are the ones that have put in this specific CEO in power. So why is it that he is denying them access to talk to them? So we went in deep to ask the resident, could you not arrange a meeting so you sit down with him? And then some of them were saying, no, he will tell you, no, I can only see you 4 to 5 months, and then that never happens, and then they are not attended to. But then there are those that, you know, sorry for saying this on air, there are those that they know these are well-off, educated, and if they really need to see me, they have to see me, the time they need to see me. But then there are those that, you know, vulnerable, they do not know which office to knock, those one never gets assistance so far. And that was one of the critical complaints within the resident, to say that the CEO is very picky, and also at the same time, he will only see the people he needs to see, not everyone.
Yeah. Well, Anacleta, thank you for really clearing up some of this, issues. Okay. And thank you for coming through on Unpacking the Day.
You're welcome. Enjoy your day.
Thank you.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekiro kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ompito mbwa na wa olonjika. Zeitha nina omayakudo ni randito mwa yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa zetu. Moambo dengira selma konora hita tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oniaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we have been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future. Eagle FM.
A very good morning to you, Namibia, and welcome to Unpacking the Day. And yesterday, for the first time ever, our nation has officially made Genocide Remembrance Day a day to honor the memory of the Herero, Nama, and Ovambandero people who suffered during the 1904 to 1908 genocide. While this is a major step in recognizing our past, big question remains. How will reparation be handled? What does real justice look like for the descendants of those affected? And are the voices of the impacted community truly being heard? So joining us this morning is Honorable McHenry Venani, a leader of the Popular Democratic Movement. He has been a leading voice on this issue, and we will be talking to him about the significance of Genocide Remembrance Day, the challenges around reparations, and what the future holds for Namibia. Good morning to you, Honorable Venani, and welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning to you and to all the listeners, and I am obliged to be with you on this very important program.
Yeah. So you played a significant role in supporting the establishment of May 28th as the National Genocide Remembrance Day. Can you tell us about your feeling when your cousin, actually, former SWANU MP, Usutwaye Mambera, first proposed this motion 9 years ago?
Yes, thank you. Well, I think the struggle started way earlier than that. But to answer your question,
yeah,
I was part of the first technical committee that started the whole genocide debate together with the founder of, or the leader who pioneered, the Chief Kwame Ruako, may his soul rest in peace, and Professor Karina and all these people. So I was part of that group and then part of the first parliamentarian that supported Chief Ruako at bringing the motion into Parliament in 2006, coming down to what Honorable Mambera, who comes from my village and who's the cousin of mine, introduced a motion in 2016 in the National Assembly. All of us supported it because it had meaning, and I think his strategic approach, what I credit him for, was that for us to accelerate demand for reparations and justice, we must also have a form of respectability within our own realm of governance.
Yeah.
And his argument was based and premised on the argument that we are demanding from Germans, but yet in our own country, we have no day of recognition, signifying the importance of the day. And I think that approach was really well thought out, and we supported him immediately. I think I was one of the probably second or third speaker that spoke after he introduced the motion. But we must tell you that it was a struggle. It was a struggle to get government to agree at really adopting this day. I remember the many letters that I had to write to President Geingob, of asking him, because Mambera left Parliament a little bit earlier, so the last 5 years he was not there. So I had to take up the file and keep it going and fighting it through, asking questions in Parliament. And it was very difficult because government somehow was vacillating at giving the day a recognition or not giving a day a recognition. So we really propelled arguments to say that we want the foreign government to take us serious, but we are not taking ourselves serious. So I think Hage at the point said, yes, man, Benani, I agree with you, but this matter is the communities are bickering over the day, so let's wait. And Nangolo Mbumba also raced with him, and he really came up with the idea to say, okay, let's the thing. He gave me assurance that this thing will be done. We will have to do it. So it's a significant milestone in the annals of our people's history.
Yeah.
Because here, 35 years after independence, we are recognizing a part of history that was missing, that was raised by, if you would like to say, opposition leaders over a number of years, saying that this issue must come to the fore. But of course, government had other priorities and things. And we were saying, if you look at the amount of people that were murdered or that were that suffered under genocide, they can't be compared to any part of our history.
Yeah.
I mean, losing 100,000 people. If you look at the liberation struggle, without demeaning its importance to the independence of our country, I mean, not more than 6,000 people died during the liberation struggle.
Yeah.
But if you look at 100,000 Namibians that have just perished under very difficult circumstances, and we never had a day to recognize it. So I must come to the party as a leader to say that we must give credit to government that even if we struggle so long, even if we bigot so long with them, voice of reason came to be that as a nation, we must now unite our people. We have this day, and we have a basis to fight from.
Yeah.
Because if we really want to fight the Germans must also know that we in our own country understands and underscores the importance of the events that took place in our country. And by us giving remembrance to this day, we are giving credence to the argument saying that our history is incomplete.
Yeah.
Our people have suffered, and our people are still suffering from the after effects of that genocide. So from that angle, we have really achieved a milestone. And I must give credit to Mamene Tumbo Ndaitwa, President Ndaitwa.
Yeah.
Her statement was very, very well positioned. She understood the mission very well.
Mm.
One of the things that she did this time around, because when Chief Kwame Ruoko brought the motion, he asked for a trilogue.
Yeah.
One of the things that he asked for was that government of Germany, government of Namibia, and the people must be represented on the talks. Now, I have been arguing with Mamene Tumbo Ndaitwa when she was a foreign minister, because both of us were in parliament in 2006 when this motion was brought in. And I used to argue with her that the communities are not well represented on the talks. And that's how the chief counsel or the chief's idea was brought in, because I was making raising an opprobrium on the question of the inclusion of communities.
Yeah.
But there is an argument, and it's a very relevant argument to those that says real community members of are not included in the talks. And there's resonance and truth in that, that government has just picked people that they thought are agreeing with them to go along with it, but not the broader communities that have really started the struggle of genocide from the beginning. And I think we need to do more. And that's why I've been propelling an argument saying that we need an intra-Namibian genocide dialogue so that we as Namibians find our national interest. What is it that we want to achieve from this reparations? How are we going to execute it?
Yeah.
And what is our bottom line? So these are still hanging matters. They are going to the quantum. I've been talking about a respectable deal. I've spoken to Angela Merkel through my own industry. I've spoken to a number of leaders of Germany during my time as leader of opposition in Berlin and outside Berlin. And I used to tell them that we want a respectable deal. And they would ask, we feel, how much is the respectable deal? I said, look,
it's not
so much about the money, but it's so much about giving something that current and future generations can be able to replenish their lives on track. You must remember, what has Namibia lost through genocide? We have lost our land, the whole police zone, the current commercial farms today that black people go and buy at exorbitant prices. All these lands were taken away from us for zero. Movable and immovable assets goes into trillions of dollars. But we are saying, we are also understanding the geopolitics of Germany. We also understand the economic hardships that they are facing as a country.
Yeah.
But there is no country in the world that has the political dexterity, the experience that Germany has in dealing with genocide, because they have dealt with the Holocaust.
Yeah.
And up to today, Polish Jews, Israeli Jews, American Jews are still receiving benefits from reparations from Germany up to this moment.
Yeah.
So there's no country, but Germany comes to the party and comes to black people and tell us that we must accept a 1 billion in 30 years, taking it with depreciation. That would be less than 7 billion depreciation on that cost. And that's just the budget of our Ministry of Education of 1 year, that they are ready to atone for a period of 30 years. And we are saying there's nothing respectable about it. It's just a joke to start off with. You can't argue. And then Germany is outsmarting our negotiators. And one of the things that we have made a mistake on, and I think as political leaders, we must really ponder on, is the fact that we have allowed non-political actors to be the negotiators at the table. And that's a mistake from our side. Because there's no political bravura, if I have to put it that. There's no political experience and maturity in our negotiating team to take Germans on. You are sitting with Germany that has prepared themselves since 2006 on bringing these issues with Namibians. And now they are saying, no, you know, actually, we are going to give you 1 billion euro for 30 years, but if you need more money, we will be able to talk about it. Mm-hmm. What kind of negotiation can somebody tell you, I have killed you, but he says, I'm going to pay you a cow, but after you are not satisfied with this car after 10 or 30 years, I can give you another car.
Yeah.
No negotiation.
Mr. Venani, there will be a quick commercial and we will be back. Just a quick short one.
Do you urgently need cash and happen to own a car? Creditors delaying and contractors need to be paid? When life throws you a rainy day, AutoCash got your back. Park your car and get up to 45% of its value within 45 minutes. No payslip, no bank statement, just the car. Mula when you need it. Call us today on 061-400-676. That is 061-400-676. AutoCash, it's that simple.
All right. And Honorable, what specific concern do you have about the lack of transparency? Or did you have any concern that there was a lack of transparency in this negotiation between Namibia and Germany?
Well, the question was that you were negotiating without bringing people that have ability themselves, that can be able to speak for themselves, on board. Mm. Now, one thing that I agree is that we must have a government that leads the process. But government should have gone to communities and say, give from your group of people that have been fighting this thing, one or two technical negotiators that will be with us for us to be able to have a landing. Because if you had communities, strong members of the communities that have been involved in this matter, you would not have had even the drafting of the joint declaration. The initial joint declaration, as it was signed, was having an absence of people in the diaspora. Yesterday, we saw Hereros and people of Nama descent that came from Botswana making plays and making drama there. I was arguing in Parliament when the JV came. And it's because of my industry in Parliament when I asked, how can you exclude people that are a direct consequence of the genocide in the quantum? Then they went and renegotiated again, and then Germany said, the argument first was that, no, that's a foreign country. I said, Germany is paying foreign Jewish that are not in Germany, that are in Poland, that are in Eastern Europe, that are in Israel, are being paid up to today. So what are you talking about? Hereros that are in Botswana, in South Africa, in Angola, how can they not be part of the quantum?
Yeah.
Then they went back and renegotiated. Had there been strong representation of those communities, such an anomaly wouldn't have been. The word reparation was here nor there in the joint declaration. The word genocide is here nor there. So the fundamentals were omitted because the Germans did this to the negotiating team. They outsmarted us. You see, with all due respect, Gaviria was a great pick to negotiate. Mm. But Gaviria's problem was that he didn't have a strong technical team behind him. What happens is that the Germans have kept him on a leash for 6 years saying, no, we don't accept the word genocide.
Yeah.
Then after 6 years, they said, okay, we would accept genocide, but not in the terms of the Second World War.
Yeah.
So the Namibian delegation thought, oh, now we won. The Germans have already accepted genocide. And you know what they did?
Mm.
They accept genocide, they accept apology, but the quantum that they want to pay is peanuts.
Yeah. Now, but what was the implication of that, of not accepting from that definition?
Well, for not accepting it, they wanted to abscond international law. They don't want any responsibility under international law.
Yeah.
For them, it was smart to negotiate like that because it makes them free. But for us to accept such vagaries, it's unthinkable that you would negotiate with somebody who says, under international law, I have no responsibility.
Mm.
Germany has a responsibility under international law. They have a responsibility under the conventions of the United Nations for us to demand fair reparations, and what they did was genocide. And if they call it genocide, of course the atonement must be concomitant with the act that you have committed. Now, Germany, for example, would restore a castle in Germany in Berlin that would cost 600 million euros just to restore one of their castles, historical artifacts of their country.
Mm.
But for 100,000 people that they have killed, for over 2 million hectares of over millions of hectares of land that they have taken and cattle they have taken, because Germans never brought any cows in this country. They came only with Simmentaler bulls.
Yeah, yeah.
The cows, the generation of cattle that are here, are Namas and Hereros and other communities' cattle in this country. But they are ready to renovate a castle in Germany for 600 million euros, but they are ready to atone for the death of 100,000 people that died under genocide, 1 million euro, after over 30 years. What is respectable about that? So I think going forward, now we have a Genocide Remembrance Day. As a country, we must sit together. As leaders, we must sit together, re-strategize, find a common platform, but let's bring communities in.
Yeah.
Those communities that are demanding the whole process must be restarted again, they are wrong. They are also wrong by a lack of understanding of geopolitics. Geopolitics doesn't work like that.
Mm.
Germany is a government, and they have started the process.
Yeah.
We have done some mistakes on our side, but how do we fix those mistakes where we are to strategize to get an end result that can become respectable? Of course, Germany might say we will not be able to move an inch over a 1 billion mark.
Yeah.
Then the Germans must go to hell. Then they can go to hell and leave us alone. Then nobody would respect their apology. But one thing that is very clear is that no one that has really fought with vigor and determination like many of us would accept a deal of 1 billion euros. You know, Chief Rwako said something to me that I never forget.
Mm.
He gave me a uniform. The uniform that I had yesterday was uniform. And he says, "You of all the children, of all the men I've raised, you are so brave and very smart." And this is what he says to me.
Yeah.
But I want to tell you one thing, McHenry. I will not be there when the Germans come.
Mm.
I will not be there because I'm too old. But what you, I know you would be there. And if you are there, remember two things. When they come, be resolute and firm. But remember that our people are also suffering.
Yeah.
So between all these three things that I was told, I remember vividly to say that, fine, this man was really worried about community suffering and our people. So our arrogance on the table should not be too much to a point that too detrimental to our people.
Mm.
But we should also not accept deals that would not be able to be commensurate to the suffering of our people. So we must strike those two balances, that we have communities that are really suffering, people that are suffering, but Germany cannot come to us.
Yeah.
The largest economy in Europe coming to us and trying to pay us a budget of our education ministry for 30 years. That's a joke. And no Namibian should accept that.
Yeah. The other thing I would like to know is that, was this the only option that we have in terms of our negotiation? We chose to negotiate directly with Germany. Wouldn't we have gone maybe use the international instrument?
You see, I think the opportunity, and we must thank government, and I say we must thank government, both government and Chief Rwako, that there was political sense in finding a political settlement.
Yeah.
I think that's the best route that we could have taken. I mean, there's some scholars, Ben Karamata and many others, that have been arguing this argument, saying that, Venani, why don't we take this thing to the International Court of Justice?
Yeah.
That process, Germany has too many friends.
Yeah.
Germany is a powerful friend to many. I mean, when we went to the court case in America, we went in the 2000s, early 2000s in America, trying to put German companies that were benefiting from the spoils of genocide in this country. We lost that case on technicalities.
Mm.
So we realized that the international jurisprudence of international law is very broad, and there are so many economic interests that Germany wields across the world that might not get us what we want. I think the route of negotiations was the best route. But if this route is not yielding result and Germany just wants to apologize and pay us peanuts, perhaps the other route can be considered. But I think we are not far off. We must strategize as a country, redirect our efforts, bring people on board that we can bring on board, unite our people, and take it going forward. For example, even the Genocide Remembrance Day, and this has been my argument as a leader, and I want to be remembered for it.
Yeah.
It has been very difficult over a number of years for me to attend national events, because national events are turned into SWAPO days.
Yeah.
But I was one of the leaders for the last 15, 20 years. Even my predecessors didn't want to go to Independence Island, but I used to say, even if we go to independence and SWAPO is singing SWAPO songs and things that we do not like, the mere fact that we are not there represents non-patriotism.
Yeah.
We must be patriotic. And I tell you, over a number of years in my memoirs, I've already started working on the manuscript, on my memoirs, I am trying to tell a story that our presence and my presence in many of these national days have changed the course of our national days to become national. But had we not been there, because I used to embarrass leaders, and I would tell President Buhamba, you are playing SWAPO song. Then he says, this thing is not good. We must try to change. I come to Hague and say, you just bring me here to come and embarrass me. What is it? And he was a political man who understood things, and he said, these things must be improved. They really look bad. So this argument, this argument, when we say there is a day of importance and significance to the people of Namibia and to people that have died, and Venani or a particular chief is not on the program, therefore he's not there. Let's not boycott important things, but let's ask and demand for inclusion going forward. So I did not like the Genocide Remembrance Day, where you don't have a Herero chief or a Nama chief speaking for themselves on the effects of their people. It's wrong. But I will not boycott a day of such magnitude because of triviality of being excluded. Because I've been excluded all the years in national events. But I forced myself to be there, showed my patriotism. And I did that for Namibians to have a say in their days, that even if you come from the opposition, Independence Day is your day. Genocide Remembrance Day is Namibian Day, whether the organizers are organizing it badly. So I'm saying these things in context also to try to direct our communities to say that sometimes things are so bad. And in leadership, things are not easy. This is the land of the brave.
Yeah.
You must brave situations. A leader must brave situations in order to overcome them. But by staying away from a day that we have fought so much, that we have put so much energy, that we have put government on the gallatin to say that, because of tribalism, you don't want to recognize our Herero, we don't want to recognize Namas. Now they came to the party and you are not there. So I'm trying to say that there are so many things that are wrong with these negotiations and things, but staying away is not an option.
Yeah.
We must come on board, engage, re-engage, until people, SWAPO was not listening to the genocide when we started this whole thing. They used to say, this is a Herero DK thing. It's just a propaganda, da, 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 da. Today we are together. They are accepting. You must fight causes. And I'm just that personality who just fight a cause through. Good or bad, I will fight for what is good. And I will do it with all the oomph that is there. So when we go to this day, we understand the significance, meaning behind it.
Yeah.
And people have really suffered for this situations to be where we are.
Yeah.
So I'm telling communities that yes, government is making a number of mistakes. Yes, we are also making a number of mistakes, but all of us must be able to sit around as people of one country and redirect our effort towards a lasting solution.
Yeah.
If the Germans don't want to go through the negotiation in that door, and they are putting these peanuts in front of us, and now they want to relegate these things to special projects and what have you. We are not interested in special projects.
Yeah.
Germany has a responsibility to atone, and if they atone, the atonement must be respectable. That's bottom line.
Yeah.
Communities must be brought. But if the Germans don't want to go through that door, then we can also consider another avenue of international courts. But we must remember that international courts have also pros and cons, and the cons are might be heavier than the pros.
Yeah. So how do you respond to those in the affected community who believe maybe like there are 2 days, like April the 22nd or October the 2nd would be more appropriate dates for the May 28th for genocide remembrance?
Look, I was one of those people that said maybe the day that von Trotta has issued an extermination order.
Yeah.
It was the correct date. Even in my argument when Mambiro made a suggestion, I suggested that.
Yeah.
But then the argument, you see, in politics and in debate, and this is why Netumbo, President Daitwa, said something very intelligent yesterday, and I give credit to her.
Yeah.
She said, in the realm of consensus building, no argument supersedes the other one.
Yeah.
The argument of the 28th has defeated us, has defeated me, who was also point blank saying 2nd of October is the correct day. The argument was that the genocide is not a Herero genocide alone.
Yeah.
It's a Herero and Nama genocide. That's the name of the genocide. Mm. No other name. But these two P communities had two dates.
Yeah.
When Von Trotta issued for the Namas and for the Hereros.
Mm.
But there is a singular date in which all these concentrations came, were closed. And that's the 28th May.
Yeah.
Is that not unifying day? And that argument won the day.
Mm.
Even us that were saying 2nd of October, I was, my argument, you can go and check the answer. My argument was the 2nd of October. That argument of the 28th of May won the day. And let's accept it and move on. We can't be arguing about days. There are so many days in the calendar of genocide, but there is no perfect day. We can argue this day, that day, but we have a day. The day was not there, we have a day. Let's move on.
Mm.
In politics, you don't win all arguments. Sometimes your argument is overrun by other better arguments, and there was a better argument, and that argument was consulted with communities across the country, with a parliamentary committee that went ahead. So consensus was built around 28th of May. Even me, who was adamant on the 2nd of October, was overrun, and I accept in democracy, if you win some, you lose some, but with fortitude, we move ahead.
Mm. So we have the Vice President, Lucia Witboy, has been actually conducting regional consultation with traditional leaders. Is this enough, or do you believe more needs to be done when we need to move forward now? We need to have some kind of consensus as a country to move forward, isn't it?
Look, you see, this is where the government, they're here, Ms. Lucia Witboy, Vice President, must listen very carefully. This is where they are missing the plot.
Mm.
Even these consultations that they are having, numerically, people are not coming to these consultations because they don't have influence.
Yeah.
The chiefs, you have chiefs, even if they're in their divisions, even if in their quarreling, their chiefs quarreling amongst each other and so forth, bring these leaders together, all of them, and say, okay, out of all the people, how many people can we put extra to the table? What can we do to re-strategize? The problem is not to go to communities.
Mm.
The problem is that if the chiefs themselves that are representing those communities are not recognized at a genocide remembrance day, what do you think would the effect be of her going to communities directly to go and consult communities?
Yeah.
Why would you not recognize the chiefs themselves? Let's call the chiefs and all those communities that were involved in this thing. And there is a history attached. This thing was a Herero movement, this genocide movement. We had to go to the Nama chiefs, Chief Frederick. I remember the first time that we went there to meet Chief Frederick, because we were in the same political party, to talk about the genocide. I remember all these things.
Mm-hmm.
So bring those people that we knows the struggle. Let's ask ourselves, what is your bottom line?
Yeah.
How many people can we include? How can we work together? Because what was even wrong for government to call this Government Remembrance Day, just to put up a committee to say, how should we organize this day? What is the feeling of communities? There was time to do that, but that was not done. So these consultations, in the absence of bringing chiefs and recognizing them, are not helping the process at all. And we are seeing you are frustrating us from the political leadership.
Yeah.
We want to engage our German counterparts politically, but because you are mishandling the traditional authority so badly, to a point that it makes us weak to really put up a fight with the Germans while we are divided in our own home. So
yeah.
I think government must play a role, a catalytic role, of calling an inter-dialogue of our people. Even a one-day conference or two-day conference, let's talk about how we can salvage this thing where we are, strategize how we can move forward. Mistakes have been done. We can't restart the process, but we can influence the end result, all of us as Namibia, and we all can celebrate in its victory going forward.
Yeah, and how can a political party actually work together to ensure that the voices of the voices of affected communities are properly heard and respected in this process?
I think the political parties are at a better space.
Yeah,
the political parties have really played their role, because all motions on genocide are unanimously adopted. People are listening to one another. Our biggest problem is not political parties. Our biggest problem is government failing to listen to the little voices of traditional leaders. And that voices are important in order to enrich the process.
Okay. The original motion spoke about building national identity while breaking through the trauma of the genocide. How can Namibia achieve this while community really feel excluded from the reparation process?
So that's the million-dollar question. Yes, that was the motive of the motion. Government has veered off a little bit. Government has too much taken away the responsibilities of communities to really play a leading role.
Yeah.
I remember when I was asking to see Deputy Prime Minister, then President Netumbo Ndaitwah in her office, and I said, look, I knew we're together in Parliament. Where are the chiefs? Where are the chiefs included? Then Nikki Yambo was then Vice President, said, oh, let's create a chief council so that the chiefs have a platform to have. Then that, it was always afterthoughts. It was never planned. So I think we must, there's nothing and there's no harm if we bring chiefs that are saying they are left out for them to come to the table to play a meaningful role. But sometimes the chiefs are also overplaying their hand. You know, for example, people are saying, why wouldn't President Netumbo Ndaitwah be addressing a genocide remembrance day? Come on, guys. This is a state. That state crafting is something else. People that sit at national events are leaders of nations everywhere in the world. So let's not also overplay our hand to say, this thing was started by us. Some of us, I mean, no, very few people can tell me about this thing because I was right from the beginning there, from my youth days up to this moment. Mm. So I know. So people say, this thing was started by us, therefore we must do it for ourselves. Those people sometimes that are making these claims, they were not even with us when we started this whole thing. They were not part of it. They just joined the bedwagon very late.
Yeah.
So all of us must simmer down the self-importance characters. The chiefs are also overplaying their hands. Government is also overplaying its hands. All of us must listen to one another.
Mm.
Colleagues, we have one country. We have one national strategy. We have one people that have suffered. All of us must listen to each other, give each other a turn so that we take this thing going forward.
Yeah. As someone who has been present from the original parliamentary debate on this issue, how do you feel about where we are today, both the progress made and the challenges that are remaining?
Well, we have not. Well, I think the progress that has been made, credit must go to President Pohamba that he wrote a letter to the Germans and the Germans replied and that there were negotiations started.
Mm.
But the negotiations could have been rescued far more earlier because now we have allowed Germany to negotiate with a team of Namibians where they've realized that these people really do not know figures. How can you just sit with Germans and they tell you they give you a billion and you are still negotiating with them?
Yeah.
We have not walked out of, we should have called the negotiations off until you improve the quantum. At this point in time, Germans have created a very low entry foot line that they have a 1 billion on the cards and they would want, and I think Germany is just playing a card. Perhaps they want to pay 3 billion, but for them to enter into the negotiations, they have put an amount so that the conditions are mine to say that 1 billion is not enough. Maybe if we get 2 more billion, we should accept. The baseline that they put in is unacceptable.
Yeah.
The talks should have faltered already at the baseline because there's nothing respectable. But Germany says over a period of 30 years, they are going to buy 100 farms. They take 4,300 farms from Namibia. They are only having money to pay 100 farms in 30 years. What acceptable deal is that? So I think political parties are in unison the way that we have really devoured the joint venture. What is it? The joint declaration of Germany and Namibia. But the government must listen. The chiefs must listen. The chiefs must not overplay their hands. Tribalism is also somehow killing this thing.
Mm.
Because when you start becoming self-righteousness and says, this thing is ours. It's our community started. Fine, we started it. But we were also national leaders that had a very eagle's eye to the future of the country as a unitary state.
Yeah.
You mean if we build a veterinary school, why will we deny a child from Zambezi to be in that veterinary school, even if it was built with German money?
Yeah.
We will not deny that. And all Namibians must directly and indirectly benefit from this thing. But when we are saying people must listen to one another, we must listen to one another. And I do not know why government is really failing to move forward, really.
Yeah. Now, looking ahead to future genocide remembrance days, what changes would you like to see in how Namibia approaches both remembrance and the ongoing quest for justice?
I think we need to have a committee, a very small committee of 12 or 13 members, six affected community members, two traditional leaders and government representatives, for us to really decide what is it, how best are we going to memorialize these days going forward. For example, I would propose, like, next year, let's go to Shark Island and have a commemoration at Shark Island where the bones of those that were really in the concentration camps are still lying open there.
Yeah.
Perhaps that's our first monument that we need to build. Let communities rally around the committee and see how best we can do it. Let the chiefs also have a word of how they are feeling from their communities. Let there be voices of people that are, that have really suffered the after effects. Now, many people, and I've been saying this in Parliament because I had the opportunity to be at the national platform for a very long time. Yeah. My name is Kanyonokere. Kanyonokere means he did not die in vain. My grandfather, my maternal grandfather, was the first Herero soldier to die in a battle between the Germans in Okanjira. There were two soldiers that died. It's Chief Kangwashivi of the Wambandero and my grandfather, Kashaimo. And my grandfather names his son, the son of his first daughter, to say, my father did not die in vain.
Yeah.
He has given me another son. We are carrying genocidal names, things that has direct relations. So you have Honorable Esther Mwinyangwe, Dr. Mwinyangwe, always argued this psychological impact of the genocide.
Yeah.
Let's have people that are feeling the genocide, psychological impact of the genocide.
Yeah.
For example, my great grandmother was a daughter of a German soldier. My grandfather is very jealous. Great grandfather is very jealous of his wife who has mothered a child of a white person. So this grandmother of mine must be killed because she's an abomination to the family. Why is she white? Her name is Karumbona. She's white.
Yeah.
So when my grandmother tells the story of her mother and how she lived and how she has to be hidden through family members for them to be born, it's a very painful story. And I'm not the only one. So many of us, when you look at the Karai here, they are light in complexion. You look at the Njaveras, they are light. These are German children.
Yeah.
You know, there are many people that can tell and retell these stories. You go to Namaland, there is a member of parliament, the name is Krone Clemente, or deputy minister.
Yeah.
You ask them. We are always thinking they are colored. But these people are Namas. But they are white Namas that looks like Germans.
Yeah.
Why?
Hmm.
So these people have stories to tell. Go to the south, see the people in Falkhras. You have Hereros that doesn't speak a language. They just speak Nama, but they are Hereros. So there are a lot of people that can participate in these days. But hell no, we can't say it's a national day and our national leaders should not speak because you don't like the ethnic group they come from or you don't like. The president of the country is the president of the country.
Yeah.
Accept that. Move on. We should be bigger than these tribal innuendos that we want to bring. We must eschew away from tribalism, find nationalism as a baseline. But the government that is the mother of the day, now that we have a mother in office, she must also come to the party and bring inclusion going forward.
Yeah, no, before I let you go, what legacy do you hope this first official Genocide Remembrance Day will leave for the future generation of Namibia?
I think the legacy is that an untold and hidden history of a devastating period of our time is illuminated forever. And never should we allow any Namibian to suffer under any kind of those circumstances for fighting for justice and freedom. Mm-hmm. And this we have achieved. We have to achieve the political liberties in our countries in terms of independence and freedom. But also, should Namibians suffer? Just yesterday, I went into the eastern side of Karitura. There's a mechanic fixing a small car of mine there. And I go back again and I ask myself this question. I'm driving this big car, not very expensive, but a Porsche Mercedes.
Yeah.
And I'm saying to myself, how long will Namibians stay without waters? Just simple tap waters. Mm. Are we really failing to give them tap water?
Mm.
So when you're talking about Namibian suffering is economic liberties, no lights, no roads, no electricity, no jobs, these things, the Genocide Remembrance Day should be a day that illuminates the past and give us a future that we must do more to deliver economic liberties in the lifetimes of our people. Because if we leave Namibians without waters, without electricity, and thinking that, and we normalize it as our people should continue to live like that. Then we are also practicing a very silent genocide on their lives. So I think this day should be a day to remind us of the past, the horrendous acts that we have, and also build a humanity in us to start thinking about those that are immediately suffering, that we can also resolve their quest for a better life in this country.
Yeah. Is there anything else about your involvement in this process or your party's position that you would like to clarify or add? You know?
No, I think one of the things I always tell people, I've done so much work in political life. We also want to go slow now, start going slower. And one of the things I'm waiting for, because I instructed to wait for this genocide, I want this thing to be concluded in the next 5 years so that we really conclude this thing and move forward. Because I want to see the establishment of a joint body that will handle these fines and so forth. And I want communities to start. I want to see Namibians living off of these benefits of atonement. But I think Germans should not think that we don't know how to calculate or don't know our losses. Yeah. What they are doing is an abomination to history. And nobody will accept the apology if it comes with this paltry and unrespectable deal. So as Namibians, let's fight. Let's unite. Let's rally behind one another. Let's advise one another. One thing that Chief Rirwako would do, and he used to abuse me so bad, he would call me at 3 a.m. in the morning, and then he tells me, "Hey, young man, you cannot sleep this day. I just want to compare notes." I said, "Chief, can't you wait for morning?" So you heard that we grew up under the generation of those leaders that always wanted you to be ready ever. All of us, we have phones, we have beautiful homes, we have this. We can sit at nice restaurant and talk about how best we can strategize this thing for the benefit of our people. Time is now. We've already achieved the first hurdle that we are recognizing the genocide in our own home front. Now we must take the battle to the Germans, but yet we must find unity amongst our people.
Honorable Benani, thank you for your rich insight and experience of this process, and it was a pleasure for us having you on Unpacking the Day here on Eagle FM. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I'm much obliged.
All right. All right. That was Honorable Benani, Member of Parliament, giving us, because of his experience and really experience of the process and being involved from the very beginning of this whole process, giving us his opinion and his experience of the day that we celebrated yesterday, and also highlighting some aspect that probably that are failing in the process, or that are very good for what the government is doing and what the government is failing to do. So very balanced overview of the process. So do come through now. Now it's your turn. Do come through, and if you are following, and do come through, have your opinion. What do you think? Maybe a reaction to some of the things that he said, or just your own contribution on the topic itself. So our telephone number, 08333-66091, 08333-66091. So you can come through now.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsine Hangano, the Osherero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Sing Voor Diere, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-23-58-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Shikawa shafasa na nana longe shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anage shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro nirandithoma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupikira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oni aj. Eagle FM, the eye.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
All right. A very good morning to you if you're just joining us. So you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. Our time, it's about 21 minutes past the hour of 9. So we still have about 9 minutes before we come to the end of unpacking the day. So you're most welcome to come through. If you are following our discussions, we have a discussion earlier on, with my colleague, Anna Kleta on the Divundu, situations. And also, we also then looked at, this is an interview that we were supposed to have yesterday. Well, the Honorable Venani, accept to continue this interview. So if you wanted to react to one of those interview that we have, you're most welcome. And also, you just want to contribute to the topics that we have discussed so far or the stories that we have covered so far. The question I ask you is just that what your reaction to yesterday, Namibia's first, genocide remembrance. Any reaction, any feedback, anything that you appreciated, anything that you didn't appreciate, just your reaction on the day yesterday. You're most welcome now to come through and, have your say. 08333 66 091. 08333 66 091. So do come through and have your opinion or your view on yesterday's event. It is the first time ever our nation has officially now made Genocide Remembrance a day to honor the memory of the Herero Nama and of Mbandero people who suffered during the 1904 and 1908 genocide. So come through if you have anything to share or comment on at 08333 66091. So yeah, and if you, we still have a few minutes that we can look at something else before we come to the end of our show this morning. But do come through, and we want to hear your opinion and your view on some of the things that we have covered this morning. So our telephone number again, 08333 66091. So that's the number to dial. Yeah. Maybe we can look at the report a report that looking at the Namibia's construction sector, which is expected to actually to deliver about 4.3 billion in projects. So the recent economic report and expert analysis from the Simonis Storm highlighting Namibia's construction sector and its outlook for 2025. So now, Namibia's construction industry, while relatively small, making up just about 1.4 of our GDP last year, so it's expected to surge by a solid 8.5% in 2025. So that's a big deal, I think. We are talking about project worth of 4 billion, driven by a mix of new homes, commercial buildings, and state funded infrastructure. So, and what is actually fueling this growth? You know, the Bank of Namibia has cut interest rate by 100 basis points since late last year, making loans cheaper, and that means developers can borrow more easily to finance new buildings, and families can get more affordable mortgage to buy or upgrade homes. So this monetary easing, if you like, is a key driver behind the construction boom so that we expect in this year. Excuse me. Secondly, the government is ramping up spending on infrastructure. So if you look at our budget, the 2025-2026 budget, it set aside a nearly 13 billion for development projects. So that with a really a big chunk going to water and energy, I think then there will be a lot of, oh my goodness, there will be a lot of I think of construction there. I think new water treatment plants. That's in the area of Erongo. Pipeline replacement, solar power stations, and massive hydropower projects. So these are not just numbers on the papers. So they translate directly into construction jobs and a contract for local businesses. So hopefully, so, but it is not all smooth sailing. It's also not just a smooth sailing. Despite the promises outlook, there are challenges that could slow things down. One major concern is Namibia's higher debt servicing costs, which tighten the government's budget and limit how much it can spend on new projects. So that's one of the challenge. So then there is the unpredictable exchange rate, which can push up the prices of imported material like steels and cement. And so when costs rise unexpectedly, some project might get, you know, delayed or even become less profitable. So those are some of the concerns that are being raised by expert and analysts. So another point to watch is the is the balance between small and large projects. Right now, most construction is happening in residential areas. So places like Katutura, Chomise, Glen Cooper. So focused on small-scale housing development. So while these are important, so the sector's long-term growth definitely depend on bigger commercial and industrial projects. So without a steady pipeline of these large developments, so the momentum, according to expert, could actually come to a halt. Yeah. And coastal town like Swakopmund are showing encouraging signs. So with a big jump in building approval compared to last year. But even there, monthly approval have leveled off, signaling a cautious optimism rather than actually a full-blown boom, if you like. So what about the government's role in all this? So there is a commitment to reform procurement process. We have seen, including as the government is setting up of a dedicated procurement court that still have to put into motions. So this is crucial because delays in awarding contracts and executing projects have long been a headache for this sector, for the sector. So fast, more transparent process that could really unlock more investment and keep project on track. So, yeah, and what all this probably mean for you and me? Yeah, for starters, more construction means more jobs. So from skilled trade tradespeople to suppliers and beyond. It also means a better infrastructure, so which can improve living standard and attract more business. So, and when we're talking about mortgage, affordable mortgages and new housing development, yeah, can help more families own homes or upgrade their current ones. So, yeah, and but the risk remind us remind us that growth is not guaranteed. It depends on a steady government spending, stable prices for building materials, so, you know, continued access to credit, and confidence from investors. So, if any of these falter, for example, if any of these falter, the sector's promising outlook could take a hit again. So, in short, Namibia construction sector is at the crossroad, a chance to build, not just structures, but a strong economy, and how well we navigate the challenges, ahead will definitely shape the opportunities for many Namibians in the month and the years to come. So, and that also bring us to the end of our unpacking the day today. So, thank you for for listening. And I would implore you to continue listening, to the programs that are coming up now. First up is, Mind the Gap. And then, Sisuma Salicho would follow. Then we have On the Radar and then Onkuntana Dingi and the rest of other programs that coming your way this afternoon. Keep listening to Eagle FM. This is your number one talk radio station. From me, Michael Chiavelli, I will see you tomorrow. That's a goodbye for now.
Music.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsi Nehangano, the Osherero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Sing Voor Diere, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-238-0683. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha kutekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana nana longeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ompito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandisoma yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konora hita tuimu. Ndatu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.